From a highly secure network of top secret locations across South Texas, this is the first off-season edition of the Spurs Insider. I'm your host, Mike Finger, joined by our esteemed Express News panel of Spurs beat writers, Jeff McDonald, and the tech savvy, the brilliant analytical technological mind of Tom Orsborn, who is with us despite many hoops, despite many obstacles, has made it into this recording this morning during our first meeting after the season has ended. Tom, just wanted to say glad to have you here. Glad that you were able to overcome all that you overcame to join us. How are you feeling today?
Trying to keep this G-rated.
Yeah,
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, a little
okay.
Yeah,
I gotta say your intro seemed a little disingenuous.
Well, you know, not to let the listeners peek under the hood. I know that's the thing that people say: the peek under the hood, see how it works, see how the sausage is made, that type of stuff. We had some issues making this happen, so I hope we're able to live up to the listeners' expectations. Because Tom might already be at his wit's end. Who is not at his wit's end? Go ahead. I was about to transition, but go ahead, Jeff.
Well, it seemed disingenuous because you called me esteemed.
Oh, yeah. That was more meant for Tom, too.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Clear that up. We're soldiering through. We're going to make this happen because we have a whole offseason to look forward to. I know Jeff's really excited about that. He really likes speculation and talking about stuff that might happen. Like that's his stock and trade is really, really feeding the internet aggregators, the creating engagement with our audience in speculating about stuff. So I'm just going to start right there. Jeff McDonald, if right now I turned you into an amalgam of R.C. Buford and Brian Wright and Greg Popovich and Peter J. Holt and gave you carte blanche to run the San Antonio Spurs offseason for the next 2 months, what are your priorities, A, B, C? How are you handling this that might be a very pivotal offseason in the future of the San Antonio Spurs?
You know, I'm really glad you asked me that question. I've been dying for someone to ask me that question.
Speaking of disingenuousness, go ahead.
You don't want, like, you want names or what?
No, just general. You can give me specific names if there's a specific name that's a priority.
I don't really
for
have
you.
Specific names. Like, the listeners are going to hate this. I don't have specific names.
Okay.
Specific priorities. You mean, like, on the court? Like, what holes you want to fill?
Yeah, like no, just team building. Like the off season, you're not designing plays. You know, you're not substituting starters for non starters. You're building a roster. So okay, you have a roster to build this off season, which the Spurs do. You are the beat writer, the longest tenured lead beat writer covering this franchise. I thought that you might have some thoughts as to what direction the roster building might go this offseason, and I'm just giving you a forum to espouse those beliefs,
and I appreciate that so much. No one else would give me a forum.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Anyway, I mean, a lot of people want the big splash, right? That's what fans are hoping for. I think at least some segments of the fan base, you got to get another all-star to pair with Victor Wembanyama immediately, or he's going to ask out before the rodeo trip next year and want to be traded and blah, blah, blah. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think there's still, depending on how you define slow build, I think there's definitely still a slow build that you can do here. I think in general, it's pretty obvious after this year, you've got to surround Victor with more shooting. Like, you need a better shooting team. It was kind of interesting to me. The Spurs set a record for most three-pointers made in team history. Like, this is the most threes they've ever made in team history.
Easy for
and
you.
They're sort of middle of the pack, you know, as far as the NBA is concerned in how many they made. And their percentage was pretty mediocre. They need better shooters around Victor. Like there's so many, he's your advantage creator. That's another thing a lot of people say. The Spurs need an advantage creator. Well, not, I mean, it always helps to have more, but you have one in Victor Wembanyama. But there were so many times last year he would create that advantage. The ball would move to where it needed to move, and it would come to someone who's a, you know, 31% three-point shooter. If you have more guys that are closer to 40, I think it automatically improves your team. And then as we've talked probably ad nauseum since our first podcast of this season going into training camp, I think you're also looking for your point guard of the future. No offense to Trey Jones, who, you know, filled in admirably and we all believe is a perfect backup point guard on a contending team. I think you want a little bit more size, a little bit more shooting at that position, and just someone who can create advantages and get the ball to Victor where he needs the ball. So I don't have names, but you can look for some of that in the draft. You can look for some of that in free agency. I would be really, really surprised. Well, not really surprised. I think the big swing is probably not there this summer. If it is, it's probably not Trae Young. And that's the one thing I wanted to bring up with you, because you've seemed to mention this in print more and more and even more declaratively in some of your columns, where the Trae Young thing, you would be pretty shocked if that happened.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I feel this is, no one has told me that definitively. It's just a vibe I've gotten, and we're all around that's not the swing that they're going to take.
On a good day,
I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. I think that a big swing is coming in the future. Maybe not this offseason, but obviously, when you're a contending team, you take big swings. Every team that contends takes big swings at some point. I don't think they're going to use their big swing on Trae Young.
On a good day, on a good day when my laptop was working, I read in the Express News online version that Devin Booker would be a good fit, and after this sweep that the Suns just experienced, that he might be available somehow.
I still think Tom is referring to a column that ran in the Express News, the Dead Tree Edition online. I think it was probably listed in the Spurs Nation newsletter. About just the Phoenix Suns Big Three era, like so many other Big Three experiments in recent years, did not work. Like that's not... That doesn't seem to be the way that titles are won anymore. This one was a disaster in that the new owner of the Suns mortgaged the franchise's entire future. He made his money in mortgages, and now he mortgaged his franchise's entire future to add Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, put them together, and they're just stuck. Like they got swept unceremoniously in the first round of the playoffs. They have no draft picks to trade until 2031. They're over the second apron, the salary cap apron, which means they can't even use like a mid-level exception. They kind of are who they are moving forward. You can't add another guy to that team. So the question becomes, do you run it back and hope that a new coach, just more time together, works? If you're the Suns, you don't want to admit your mistake. Or does like Kevin Durant demand a trade, which obviously he'd never do. He's never looked to get out of a shaky situation before to go somewhere else. If he would do that, then do you build a rookie building around Devin Booker, or does he become available? And what the column that I wrote wasn't necessarily saying that Devin Booker to San Antonio is going to happen. It's just stuff like that. Jeff mentioned this earlier. The big swing might not be this offseason, but those are the types of situations that I can see the local Cagers taking advantage of at some point. When you have a player like Devin Booker, who I believe is entering his age 28 season, he's been around forever, but he's signed through his 28 to 31 year seasons, which is in the NBA, that's your prime. That is not on the Victor Wembanyama timeline. Like they're not cohorts in age, But if Devin Booker is 31 when Victor Wembanyama is what, 24, like, and they're both playing at an all NBA level, I think that's pretty good. And I think I've talked to people who kind of see that that's the type of player who you can envision the Spurs trying to incorporate. Like, there's a lot of cool things about the Devin Booker idea. Again, I don't think it's going to happen, but he provides the shooting that Jeff said the Spurs need. He provides some of the playmaking. Like, I was, it's funny, after the Sun season ended, I read about how their big mistake was they didn't have a point guard, and they should have gotten a point guard, and they tried to play without a point guard. It didn't work. I look back to some multiple articles written by smart people back in like December and January, which wasn't that long ago. One of them was like, Devin Booker might be the best point guard in the NBA. Like, this Phoenix Suns experiment with Devin Booker playing point guard is going swimmingly well. Like, it's a spectacular success, and it didn't end up that way. But and you wouldn't make Devin Booker the point guard of the future with the Spurs, but he could play some of that. Like, you could play some Trey Jones, you could play some Devin Booker. Another thing about Devin Booker is, like, the Hispanic community in Phoenix loved him. He just dove headfirst into embracing all of that. His mother is has roots in Mexico, and like, that just seems like such a cool fit in San Antonio if it would happen. Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, way back when we were in Phoenix, just stomping around on that off day, I saw, I counted numerous murals with Devin Booker
Yeah.
painted around town. To
And
your
just the
point.
way, like, early in his career, people remember him as being this gunner. You know, he went out of his way to score a bunch of points one game, and it's like, and the Suns weren't winning, and he had a certain reputation as being a me first guy. I think since then it's anything but. He seems to be the type of guy who could embrace playing, first of all, as sort of second fiddle to a Victor Wembanyama, because he's done that during his career and been cool with it. But also, like, embracing a smaller market. Like, again, he loved Phoenix. Phoenix loved him. Phoenix is bigger than San Antonio, but it's not New York or LA or San Francisco. So I think there are lots of positives there. It might not happen. It might not be the best move for the Spurs. I'm not saying if he's available, you absolutely have to go get him. But I think these are the situations where a team of stars is breaking up, that if you're the Spurs, you at least investigate and look into. And it could be like, I'm open to the argument that he's already too old, that they should be focusing on much younger players to pair with Victor. I'm open to that argument, but part of the appeal to me is he's a guy, if he's into it, who you can sort of build with and create that steady climb, which I think is coming for the Spurs in the next few years, and could still be a force when they're ready to really start contending. It's not perfect, it's not ideal, but I think it's something that they'd at least look into.
I'll tell you one thing that's not going to happen. I got a concerned electronic mail message from a reader, an actual reader that reads the newspaper, and he was concerned, and he asked me very concernedly, "They're not going to go after Kevin Durant, are they? Like, they wouldn't be fooled into that." And I'm like, "No way. No way. Your big swing is not going to be a 35-year-old man." I feel like I don't like making definitive statements about a lot of things, but I think I can say that. The Spurs' big swing will not be a 35-year-old man, even if that 35-year-old man is still pretty good at basketball. That's not going to be the big swing.
And let's see, so you're looking for the sweet spot here. And here's the other thing. Tom, I want to get your priority. I know you're going to shy away as gracefully as you can from making any declarative statements, because that's not your style. But another thing that I'd add to Jeff's priority list this offseason is just some veteran guys. And like, that team was the youngest team in the NBA last year. There was a lot of positivity to that. Like, the fact that they were still as excited as they were to win game number 21 and 22 at the end was just a a marvel, like a testament to Greg Popovich too, by the way. But also to like, there were cool things about being that young and growing together. But that team just needs some veteran guys. Yeah. And if you add, it doesn't have to be the star. If you add a Devin Booker who's 28, maybe some of that veteran leadership presence can come from the star. It can also be, and I'm not breaking any news here either, but, and it's not your big swing, but if you decide like Chris Paul needs a place to play, they weren't interested in the Chris Paul thing last year, but now maybe you see he can be that bridge guy where he's not going to be with you when you win titles, but there could be some use to having a vet like that just kind of help you take the next step. Like I wouldn't be shocked if something like that would happen.
Yeah, no, as much as you know, I enjoy it, I think I could say we here too, as much as we enjoy having Doug McDermott around and Devontae Graham, those are not the guys you want as your veteran leaders. Nothing against them personality wise, but it's got to be someone that can contribute a little bit more, has a little bit more respect, a little louder voice than both of those guys. They both did their best to guide and mentor and tutor, but their personalities aren't such that, you know, a guy that can command the room. So you're exactly right.
And it's not just, I think it's important too to note that it's not just commanding the locker room. Like you don't want to sign a guy who's just going to talk and not Tom pointed this out. You need to be able to contribute. And when a close game is hitting its most important moments, like late against Sacramento on the road, or, you know, at home against Minnesota, whatever, like it would be nice to have a 28-year-old, 30-year-old type of guy who's been in the league for a while, who you can kind of turn to and have everybody settle down on the court and get you a bucket or a defensive stop when you need it, rather than what happened all of last season where you were turning to Victor Wembanyama or Jeremy Sochan or Devin Vassell, who just haven't been through as many of those situations before. So we're putting together our priority list. Shooting's one of them. Some kind of point guard presence is another one. And I think some kind of veteran know-how is part of this. And there's many ways that this can be accumulated, but I think those are our priorities that we put together so far on this podcast.
I got a question to back up to now that I'm thinking about it. Maybe you're bored of talking about it, but I think maybe there's probably some listeners and viewers and readers who are listening and going, well, why are they dismissing the Trae Young thing so quickly? I know that mm-hmm. the fan base is probably split. Some people think it's a terrible idea, but some people think it's a great idea. And why are we dismissing it so quickly? And why would you think the Spurs would dismiss it so quickly?
I don't want to bash a guy. I just don't. And there are reasons why that makes people so excited that I will fully acknowledge. Like the thought of, you can just see it in your head, a Trae Young, Victor Wembanyama pick and roll, and every play and offshoot that comes out of that, running
it like
20 times a game, it'd be pretty unguardable. Like I see that. And if the Spurs during this pod, if we close our podcast apps here and see the word that the breaking word that the Spurs are acquiring trading, I guess that would be illegal. You can't trade during the playoffs. But if that happens this offseason, like that would be something. I can see the upside there. But I also think that to answer your question, I think it has to do with personality, with style, with the player they want to pair with Victor Wembanyama has to mesh. Has to be, this is a Potter Stewart thing, you know it if you see it. I can't necessarily define it, but he has to be sort of Spursian in how he carries himself, how he just kind of exists in the NBA.
You believe it has less to do with how it would look on the court as opposed to maybe, I don't know,
correct.
Personality is the word or...
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. And also just like there's some on the court stuff too. Like, is Trae Young interested at all in playing defense? That's still a pretty big Spurs thing. Right. That's still a pretty big, through 25 years, that's been a pretty consistent part of the Spurs belief system,
I
is you have to be
think
willing and eager to defend people.
those who are pro acquiring Trae Young would say that if you have Victor Wembanyama, the rest of the guys can be a little worse on defense
I'm not dismissing that
if they're
either.
that good on offense.
Do you want the counter to that is, do you want your co-star, your if you acquire a Trae Young type player, he is the 1B to Victor Wembanyama's 1A. Like, do you want that guy to not care about playing defense? Like, that's the issue there. You can get away with some role players not playing defense. You know, Doug McDermott and Doug tried on defense, but like, it's one thing to have those type of players not playing defense, but you kind of want your leader or your co-leader to embody the whole ethos of the organization. Like, I'm using ridiculous words here, and I'm not sure that I'm making this
You know
sound
why?
way
Because
more deep
you
than
were
it is.
trying to avoid using the word culture. That's why you
I was
more
trying to avoid
ridiculous.
the yes. Guilty as charged. Yeah, like, I'm being ridiculous. I just don't think that Trae Young fits. I don't think that the Spurs believe Trae Young is their big swing. But I'm not ruling anything out. And
I think you get.
I'm not gonna sit here, and if there's listeners out there saying they should do it, obviously it'd be great. I'm not dismissing that. I'm not saying that they shouldn't.
Maybe
I'm
I'm old.
just go ahead.
Maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but if it's almost like you have one chance to push all your chips to the middle of the table and make your big move. And once you do, you're locked into that. And I feel like there's just enough question marks around the fit with Trae Young. And it's like the first, like that's the, you're going to take the first thing that comes along and try to make it work, or you want to hold out and wait. I mean, it almost seems like a panic move at some point if there's enough question marks. Because once you push those chips in, you're locked into Victor and Trae are our pairing for how long? For years. I mean, and if it doesn't work, I think you can make the argument there's a better chance of screwing up the Victor Wembanyama window by pushing all those chips in for Trae Young than there is if you just wait a little bit and try to build it a different way or get that star later. I think the risk of screwing up is very high with Trae Young, more so than if you just wait a little bit. I think the people that want to jump at Trae Young are so scared that if the Spurs don't, aren't contenders next year, Victor's going to get sick of it and leave. I think that's and we got to do something to show him we're serious. I think that is the mindset of the people that are really into Trae Young. And I don't necessarily blame them, but I think it's a panic mindset. I don't think you always make the best decisions when you're panicking. And there's no reason to panic right now. That's the other thing.
No, and there's nothing we can say, or Victor can say, or anyone in the organization can say to alleviate those concerns, to dismiss them. But I'll speak for the three of us, and y'all can chime in if you want. I have heard 0.0 evidence that what Jeff just described, that if the Spurs don't show they're serious, Victor's going to think about leaving. I've heard zero to support that from Victor, his people, the Spurs people. Like, Victor is as committed to the long-term building process of this organization as anybody.
Well,
And yes, that there's so many examples in the NBA in recent years where stars do get fed up and they do ask out, and I realize that's a possibility. But Victor is his own guy. He's different than a lot of NBA players, and he's given me zero indication that there is pressure on the Spurs to help him out right away, or he's going to think about leaving.
do you know how we'll know when Vic, if Victor Wembanyama really wants to play with Trae Young? The Spurs will trade for Trae Young.
Exactly.
You know what I
That's
mean?
a great point.
I mean, if he's putting pressure on him, I mean, if he's putting pressure on him, they will respond to it.
That's the set. We could have made this a 2-minute podcast, because
Well, let's do that next
that's
time.
one of your best points ever in that, like, he's not in there. I wrote this towards the end of the season about Victor's voice in this whole process. Like, he's not in there demanding input. He just has it. The moment that the Spurs won the lottery a year ago, and I guess we can talk about the lottery in a little bit, the moment those balls fell into place and Tom Orsborn was back in there in that secret room watching Brian Wright look in the notebook and realizing that he had the combination and Victor Wembanyama was going to the Spurs, that moment... Okay, you're right. The moment those balls fell into place, Victor Wembanyama became the most important person in the entire San Antonio Spurs organization. His opinion at that moment mattered more than Greg Popovich's, more than Brian Wright's, more than R.C. Buford's, more than Peter J. Holt's. Like, Victor doesn't have to say, do what I want or I'm leaving. All he has to say is, this is what I want. Hey, by the way, he very politely, hey, I think it would be nice if we traded for Trae Young. Like, if he ever did that, they would trade for Trae Young the next day, the next hour. And this idea that the Spurs would go against Victor Wembanyama's wishes, it's just absurd. It's not him putting his foot down or making demands. He doesn't have to. They are going to make 100% sure that he is behind every step they take. So, Tom, do you think we missed anything in this roster building exercise? Anything you want to add?
I don't think so. Pretty soup to nuts to me.
I love the soup to nuts. The other thing
we can do more of a draft preview after we find out. I think that's premature now. We're not going to talk to you again before the lottery. So next time we'll know which picks the Spurs have, which pick or picks in the top 10 the Spurs have. We'll get into that later.
The other thing I'd add for the people screaming at us right now about how we can't continue this way, the Spurs. If they keep winning 20 games a year, if they win 20 games next year, it's a problem. We agree with that too.
Yeah.
And I think so there has to be some improvement and you have to build towards something. Just doesn't
the natural question to follow up on that, and I know you're going to hate it, and I even hate asking it because it's so hot takey or whatever, but if you said if they win 20 games next year it's a problem, what number could you put there in that sentence to where it would not be a problem? Like, what's the minimum?
Like, I have after watching this season where we all thought they were just going to take a big leap forward and didn't. Mm-hmm. My expectations are a little less than some Spurs fans. But if you're just up there competing for the play-in spot, maybe getting a play-in spot in the 30-ish win range, I think that's okay. That shows progress. You have to show progress. You have to just show that you're moving forward in some way. And I think a lot of the problem is the Western Conference, at least this year, was just so stacked. I mean, you had Golden State with a record that would have got them home court advantage, I think, last year, having to scrape through to the play-in. So maybe competing for a play-in is hard to do. But so you asked me for a specific number, and I hemmed and hawed. I just think you have to show some measurable improvement in the standings, in the win-loss record.
You can't say 29 wins. Let's say they go from 22 to 29. Is that still too low? I think they need to shoot higher than that.
I would like to see at least a three before. I would like to see a three in the tens place there, at least, even for psychological reasons.
I agree.
Like 30 is not that much more than 29, but it seems like that much. Uh-huh. 29.
Tom?
Yeah, 35.
35. Thomas being the most aggressive here. That's new.
The coach has to choose his words carefully on media day this time. Not
that's true too.
Yeah, not to set expectations too high, but still keep the pressure on the boys a little bit, I guess.
You don't have that printout in your bag.
I still have it. Yeah, I still have it. I don't want to dig around for it, but I still have it
because the quote that Pop gave on media day last year about the what it was to learning last year's about winning. It was when Tom went back and looked at his transcript of that, like we almost undersold it all year. He was more definitive about demanding improvement than some people even remember. Anyway, we're not gonna make him look that up. That's ancient history.
How many games would they have won if they wouldn't have farted around like the first 20 games of the season with different lineups and guys out of position and stuff?
That's another
Probably more than
thing.
22.
They would have won more. The devil's advocate thing is, would it really have mattered that much in the
No.
long term?
No.
Maybe, maybe not.
Not
We
to
are
change
on a go ahead, Tom.
the subject real quick, but or to change the subject real quick. How about that Derek White kid?
Still quite a he's something else.
Is that
The the
the bald fella for the state Celtics?
Yeah,
it
38
is.
points, 8 of 15, was 3-point range.
The history of
You know what would look great with Victor Wembanyama is Derek White.
that's true. The
Should
catch
have never
22 is
traded
if
that guy.
the catch 22 is if you had never traded Derek White, Victor Wembanyama would be playing for Houston or
That's
Charlotte. He wouldn't be playing for the Spurs. The history of the fan reaction to the Derek White trade is kind of a trip too, because you can go back to the immediate aftermath. And there are like the fan blogs and just some of the coverage in Boston of that trade is what a disaster of a trade for Boston. Like, why did they give up what they gave up for this guy who's just a complete non-entity? And in retrospect, man, what a steal. I shouldn't even say steal. What a great deal for Boston. For the Spurs, it got them
I believe it was
indirectly
Blake Wesley.
Blake Wesley, and I think there's another because who Josh Richardson was in the deal, right? And then
Yes.
that got turned into like 4 second round picks.
I think there's some kind of swap in there too.
There's a swap in there, coming first round swap with Boston,
I should know better,
and
but I have this
yeah.
all confused because there's so many trades.
Right, but
2028 Brown draft pick.
The result is Blake Wesley, the right to swap in the future, and Richardson got like 4 second rounders. So maybe you still have a chance to salvage something. But as we've mentioned on the podcast before, Brian Wright's trump card in all these conversations is, yeah, but it also got us Victor Wembanyama. Like if we wouldn't have traded Derek White, we wouldn't have Victor Wembanyama. So that wins every argument.
Just to tie up a loose end here, here's Pop's exact quote from Media Day.
Okay.
Winning is as important this year as learning was in the past. We've got to continue to learn, but adding more wins is appropriate and mandatory.
And mandatory. Adding more wins is appropriate and mandatory. And did they add more wins, Tom?
No, they only got to
They came
22.
close, though.
Didn't
Even
they
one
have
more.
What's Wimby
Okay.
said, we're not going to be the losingest team, the worst team. We're gonna exceed last year's total, and he came damn close.
He came down close. I hate to end on a downer.
If you look at where
The
they, if you look at where they were at the All-Star break, or even coming out of the rodeo trip, or even going into March, which I guess are all about the same time of year, like it almost seemed completely unrealistic that they would even get to 22 wins.
Yep.
So
They definitely
they
ended on a
didn't.
high note, like we like to do here. We're going to remain on the bi-weekly schedule for the next month or so. Which means that we'll come to you next time on May the 15th. Is
So,
that
but
right?
biweekly does not mean twice a week. I always get that confused.
See, that's a quirk of the English language, Jeff. Biannually and biweekly, bimonthly can mean two totally different things. Biweekly could mean twice a week, or it could mean every other week. Like, we need to come to a decision on this.
Is that
As
true?
an English-speaking public, yeah, I think that's true. Like biannually, that could mean twice a year or every other year. Like linguists haven't come to a decision on this. It seems like a huge gap
It's they're
in the
working on.
language.
They're working
They're
on.
working on.
We should probably just all learn French.
I'm working on that too. I'm going to be spending 19 days there this summer, so I need to work on that. The next Spurs Insider will come to your earbuds, your digital players, on May 15th. That's that Wednesday. That will be following a couple days after the NBA draft lottery, where to review again, the Spurs could win the top pick again. Could also, the best pick they could get from Toronto would be 7. If Toronto's in the top 6, they don't get that pick. That gets pushed back to next year. But the best case scenario for your Spurs when we talk to you next time is they could have the number 1 pick and the number 7 pick. Worst case is what they only have the 8 or 9.
It's
It'll probably
nine.
be some 9. They'll probably be somewhere in between. I could see like maybe they have a 3 and a 7, a 2 alone, something like that. But we'll have that to talk about next time. And until then, take care of each other and keep it real.